when we moved from Bombay to Delhi for a short period before coming back for service to Bombay, we were feeling very lost. We were not very sure what kind of association we'll get in Delhi. Of course, there are many wonderful devotees, but we were just unsure. But when we moved to Delhi, we were somehow very fortunate to host Gopi Panandana Prabhu fortnightly basis at our residence. He would come to Delhi all the way from Govardhan, give a class in the evenings, stay overnight, and give a morning Bhagavatam class at the Shishi Radha Patsarthi temple. And I heard that he would travel by bus, standing in the bus all the way. It was amazing. And he wasn't complaining, but we were feeling very bad that he should do that. So we started booking train tickets for him and very humbly accepted. I hadn't heard much of Gopi Panandana Prabhu, but from the day we started hearing his classes, I was always reminded of Jayadvaita Maharaj. Very short classes, but very long question answer sessions. I am personally very fond of asking questions. So when he would give classes, we would not even put a threshold of 3 hours, because we were just so happy asking questions and hearing from him. But his humility was such that if he didn't know a point, if he was not sure about an answer, he would just outrightly say, I'm not sure, I don't know. So very touching experience. Experiences with Gopi Panandana Prabhu were so subtle, as Nityananda Prabhu pointed out, like filling a bucket with water, with drops of water trickling in at every moment. So I'm not able to register all the beautiful pastimes, all the beautiful experiences we had. Some of them we are able to recall. Once we were taking Gopi Panandana Prabhu to Shishi Radha Patsarthi temple for morning Bhagavatam class. And as soon as we entered the temple, we were told that by mistake, another Prabhupada disciple was also requested to give the class. So I was a bit confused. I didn't know what to do. So I was asked to communicate to Gopi Panandana Prabhu that, you know, some other devotee is going to give the class. So I was scared. But I went over to him and whispered in his ear, Prabhuji, someone else has been asked to give the class. Prabhuji said, no problem, I'll hear. So it was so simple for him to make a transition from Vyasasan to be a listener of Srimad Bhagavatam. He used to give classes on teachings of Lord Kapildev, and that was one section of Srimad Bhagavatam which I wasn't able to really appreciate as much as other parts. But for almost 2 years, he was just discussing from that one section, teachings of Lord Kapildev. By the end of the discussion, I developed so much taste for that section. As Nityananda Prabhu was pointing out, he used to dissect every verse, give brief classes, but his classes were so potent. So all the devotees developed a lot of taste for this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Once Gopi Panandana Prabhu was not keeping very good health till the last moment of his life. He used to have severe asthma attacks, and often he would tell me that Jayadvaita Maharaj has asked me to meet this Ayurvedic doctor or take some other treatment. So when he would come to Delhi, we would be very busy taking him to different devotees, sometimes to take medicines, etc. So one of his well-wishers, one Mataji, she was so inspired by Gopi Panandana Prabhu, so she had got some very expensive medicines, herbal medicines from Himalayas. So we, Gopi Panandana Prabhu and I, on our way back to Govardhan, we went to this Mataji's house. She went inside to get the medicines. So meanwhile, the husband was there. The husband didn't know anything about Gopi Panandana Prabhu. He was not a devotee. So he asked, can you introduce yourselves? So I was about to speak. I was about to introduce Gopi Panandana Prabhu. Immediately he spoke. He said, here is Gaurari Prabhu. He has done his PhD. He is going to Bombay. He is going to become a professor at IIT and he is going to preach there. And then the Prabhuji asked, what about you? And he didn't let me speak. He said, I did my graduation, but no one was willing to give me a job. So I went to this Hare Krishna temple, and they found that I was of some use. That's it. And he went on answering questions. Extremely humble, extremely down to earth. As Kunti Maharani says, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribir Enamara Madhapman. So Naivarati abhidatumvai tuam akinchana gocharam. So even though he was so qualified, such a scholar, still that's not what he counted. One of another Prabhupada disciples, His Grace Mukundat Prabhu, he's a very close friend of Gopi Parandan Prabhu. Again, we are very fortunate to have his association for a couple of days. And Mukundat Prabhu was saying that Gopi Parandan Prabhu is actually a drop-in. As Nityanand Prabhu was saying, he's quoting Jananivas Prabhu, some devotees are born saints. So Mukundat Prabhu is explaining that he's just a drop-in from the abode of the Lord. Very difficult to understand. Very often we would just tell Gopi Parandan Prabhu, we are so fortunate that we are able to serve you. Actually, when we would serve him prasadam, with every spoonful of prasadam, he would say, thank you very much. And his expression was so genuine, so deep. And very often we would say, we are so grateful that we are able to serve you. We are so fortunate that we are able to serve you. And Gopi Parandan Prabhu would just, as a matter of fact, he would say, I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure. He said this so many times. Once, one of my good friends, he was traveling with Gopi Parandan Prabhu, and they were inspecting a piece of land in Govardhan. So Gopi Parandan Prabhu was considering from the Vastu Shastra point of view whether this is the right place. So this devotee asked Gopi Parandan Prabhu, Prabhuji, Bhagavad Gita says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Just take full shelter of Krishna. Krishna will protect. So why do we need to go by Vastu Shastra? Gopi Parandan Prabhu said, yes, there is no need to go by Vastu Shastra. But for someone who has not fully surrendered to Krishna, it's okay to look at Vastu Shastra. And then he said that even if someone is not fully surrendered to Krishna, yet he may look at Vastu Shastra because he may want to save Prabhupada's money while exploring different pieces of land. So that's how humble he was. I mean, he didn't try and refute this devotee's statement and establish that he actually has full faith in Krishna. Just explained it from different perspectives. There were several occasions where I would go to him with questions. Sometimes I asked if a particular devotee could join the Bhagavatam Vidyapeet. And Prabhuji was extremely clear, sometimes very cutting. This devotee had used to read a lot of Mayavad books, and he was very clear. He said, no, he cannot be admitted. But there were occasions when I took the same devotee to Gopi Parandan Prabhu's house in Govardhan. And Gopi Parandan Prabhu and his wife, they received this devotee with so much affection. We were feeling very embarrassed because his health was not very good. And Gopi Parandan Prabhu's wife is serving all of us, taking such nice care. So on one hand, extremely clear, no compromise at all. But he had the heart of a Bengali mother, extremely caring and loving. Our visit to his house in Govardhan was one of the most moving experiences in my life. The way the cows would just move around into any room. All the animals would be occupying different rooms in his house. There was no discrimination at all. I remember I came back, and the next time Gopi Parandan Prabhu was giving a class, I called all my colleagues from my office. I was at IBM Research, and most of the colleagues are like PhDs, done PhD in good universities in the US. So I would invite them. And one of these guys, he attended Gopi Parandan Prabhu's class. He was happy. And then I explained to him that Gopi Parandan Prabhu stays in a small hut in Govardhan. He has calves and cows at home. And he was so impressed. The next day he went around the entire office talking about this gentleman who came to, whose class he attended at our house. So that's how effective, but nobody knew. Nobody would understand. He would not boast about himself. So feeling extremely fortunate that we had the chance to associate with Gopi Parandan Prabhu. Once I came back to Bombay, I was very eager to serve him and somehow help revitalize his health and get him free from asthma. So there was this doctor in Jaipur whom I find to be very effective. Or Anandan Prabhu actually referred me to him. He did this acupuncture treatment to heal asthma. So Gopi Parandan Prabhu was happy, he accepted this. And I remember that in Jaipur he was very often telling this doctor that I was only this far from death. I was this close to death. I didn't realize that what he meant could actually happen. Very severe asthma problem. But one of these occasions in Jaipur, I remember he was having so much difficulty breathing, but the hosts were very eager that Gopi Parandan Prabhu gives a class. So he somehow managed to give classes. So I've seen all the instances when he would give class, he would be panting, gasping for breath, but he would still manage to give a class. On one occasion when we were travelling in Jaipur, somehow his dhoti got stuck to the end of an auto rickshaw. And when he attempted to stand up, the dhoti got torn, major part of the dhoti got torn. The entire day he was just travelling with the dhoti. We were trying to suggest, he said, no, that's okay, I'm fine. But towards the evening, we went out and bought a new dhoti for him. The host got a new dhoti for him. And when Gopi Parandan Prabhu was given this, he was saying, thank you very much. But the next question he asked is it okay if I give this, return it back to you when you come to Govardhan or during my next trip? Everybody felt so touched. No, you don't need to give it back, Prabhuji. He said, thank you very much. Extremely humble. During one of that our conversations, he was sharing the challenges he's facing in preaching in China. So he had learned Chinese, he was trying to learn Chinese. And one of the challenges he was facing was keeping the devotees engaged, because the devotees had their jobs and the chanting and all kirtans were done in secrecy. So they were having a lot of difficulty, you know, somehow maintaining Krishna consciousness while at work. So Gopi Parandan Prabhu had identified, based on his readings of the scriptures, how Varnashram could be implemented in a city setting. So he was sharing that in a city setting, if you try to identify Brahmanas, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas and Shudras, the Shudras might feel offended. So he said, on a practical basis, they had identified that any company in a setting run by devotees will require Brahmanas who give the spiritual vision, will require Kshatriyas who basically do the administration, will require Vaishyas who make sure that the business runs in profits. And the fourth is the women. The women should also be engaged in such a business and they should actually take care of the emotional needs of the other four classes. That's how a company can be run in a city setting. And then we went into great lengths discussing about Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and he was sharing his views that he thought Bhaktivedanta Hospital was an ideal example of this kind of Varnashram setup in a city. So this was one of my last interactions with him. We subsequently actually requested him to share all these thoughts to a group of devotees who are working on traditional technologies under the guidance of Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. So again, my great fortune, I pray at the lotus feet of Gopi Parandan Prabhu that he may forgive me for all the countless offenses we must have committed at his lotus feet, and also pray that can imbibe a small fraction of his humility. His grace Gopi Parandan Prabhu ki.